Last week, Forbes named Vladimir Putin the most powerful person in the world for the fourth consecutive year. And this week, the Kremlin leader will bask in the glory in his annual Marathon News Conference. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. And joining me in the studio is RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So on Thursday, we'll all do it again. We'll treat Putin's year-end press conference like a Hollywood blockbuster, like we do with his live call-in show, like we do with the State of the Nation speech. It'll be live blogged. It'll be live tweeted. Every pithy quip will be replayed and rehashed. And this got me thinking, are we all contributing to the Putin myth by doing this?
Well, I think, I think the Western media doesn't quite replay every pithy quip. There's a lot that sort of goes under our radar that is noted and treated with great fanfare by the Russian media. Some of his exchanges with women about love and that sort of thing. Some of his more domestic or more ways that he's trying to charm the Russian people, I guess. I think it is worth covering closely these events, even though they're obviously part of an effort, to build his image. Covering them closely and reporting on the significant things he says. I mean, sometimes there may be things that are given too much attention, but I think as a way of looking at what he's going to do and what he's saying, I think they're useful. So I don't think with these especially, the Western press is really overdoing it too much. But that said, I think one person I know quite well feels like things might have been different, relations might be better if the West kind of ignored Putin a little more. Not just in these set piece events, but just his kind of threatening statements and that sort of thing. And the idea being partly it's to get attention, and maybe if we paid less attention, it would be less effective.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of this, the myth of Putin, a lot of it's a psyop and a head game, and these things are heavily scripted, and we know he's going to have some pithy answer to the allegations of the hacking and interference in the U.S. election. You just know that's coming. Now, this is true. This is one of the three times we really get a clean look at him. And the live call-in show, which takes place usually in the spring, the State of the Nation speech, which was a couple of weeks ago, and then the year-end presser. I was just wondering to the extent that we are kind of complicit in building up this myth. That said, I'll be watching for a couple of things as I'm contributing to the Putin myth on Thursday. One of the things I'm looking for is, are we going to see the confident and expansive Putin? Or are we going to see the Putin that looks a little bored and tired? And you just really just never know when you're coming into these things. He looked kind of bored and tired at the State of the Nation speech. And I'm wondering what his demeanor is gonna be. Other things, there's obvious things. How is he gonna handle things like the allegations of meddling in the U.S. election? How is he gonna handle Navalny's potential presidential candidacy? How is he gonna answer questions about his own political future? Because those are bound to come up. They probably have canned answers ready for that, with some spontaneous pre-planned quip to go with it. Usually probably using some salty language, but it'll be interesting to see how he handles these things, because those are going to be valuable signals that we can take forward. What are you going to be watching for mostly, Steve?
Yeah, I think you mentioned these three things. I think on the allegations of meddling in the U.S. election, that is one area where we risk, he's obviously going to make some sort of a quip answer. It won't differ much probably from the sort of semi-denials or denial/gloating dismissals. So obviously I think the media is going to be reporting on that quite actively, but he may not say anything that's really new. So that's the kind of thing. I don't expect that he'll say anything that really adds to the knowledge about this. On Navalny's potential presidential candidacy, I think Putin is probably going to play it straight. He'll presumably be asked about that, and I would imagine that he would, say, more power to him if he can go through the the campaign process, you know, so to treat it as a straight fair election where Navalny has at least a fair chance of getting on the ballot.
You know, and there's been some speculation that the Kremlin may want Navalny in the game. They're going to play the kind of Sobyanin game where Putin in his last election potentially can beat Navalny. And that would be that would put a period at the end of that sentence forever.
Right, exactly. So, and you know, if that's the plan, then, you know, certainly you'd think he will play it straight. And also that may be one of the potential plans. So at this point, so long before the actual election, you know, I think he's going to keep the door open to various developments in the kind of Navalny situation. And then on the his own political future, you know, that's something I think that we have the most potential of those three things that you mentioned of hearing something that could be meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his intriguing comment about what was it that he wants to see the sights and, you know,
that he wants to travel more and he's tired of being president, like,
right,
successfully complete his career.
So, you know, obviously that's a way of getting us thinking, getting everyone thinking about what his plans are. So, you know, but it will be interesting to see whether he takes that further or somehow, you know, negates that and makes a suggestion that that makes it seem like he wants to be around for much longer as the leader. Again, though, you know, he probably will, whatever he says, it's going to leave the door open to various
denouements. Because it's very early in the game right now. But there's been a lot of that, those comments in Chelyabinsk about how he'd like to successfully complete his career. Tatiana Stanovaya had an interesting piece in Republic about this, where she said, it's, you know, this is clearly a signal that he seems to be trying to negotiate his exit one way or the other. I'm not sure I buy that, to be honest. I'm not sure I buy that. And it's supposition upon supposition. But we should get some kind of signal along these lines on Thursday as well.
No, I agree. I mean, it's hard to, you know, maybe he is, but maybe he wants us to think that he's finding a way to negotiate his exit. So,
do you expect anything on the 1917 question? The centennial's coming up. They're clearly been pushing this message out consistently that they're going to take this anniversary seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll probably use that as a way to talk about unity again, and possibly as he did, I think, in the State of the Nation, to kind of use it to push for unity and warn against both kind of nationalism or, you know, nationalist violence, or and also against the kind of opposition,
the idea of revolution.
You know, people hitting the street. So I think that's something that he'll try to, if he's asked about it, I mean, presumably he will be, but he'll probably use that to send a message of unity and a warning to people who, in his view, might undermine that.
I mean, the perception right now is that Putin's winning. The perceptions that he's winning at home, and the perceptions that he is winning abroad. This is the meme right now. This is the vibe, and I want to see to the extent to which we're going to see him in a gloating mood in this press conference or not, or if he'll try to appear magnanimous, which would. Would any thoughts along?
Well, I think people were saying after the State of the Nation address, you know, the one thing he needs to do, or one reason he may not be very outspoken, is that he has to wait and see how things are going to develop with Trump and the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, why gloat when, you know, you might be able to do better by being a little understated. So I think, you know, it may be more of a waiting game in that.
So we might not we might not see the expansive, victorious, gloating Putin, but we might see a more subdued version. Well, we'll wait and see. We'll see in a couple of days. On that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. The Power Vertical Briefing will not appear for 2 weeks due to the Christmas and New Year's holiday, but we'll be back on January 9th, 2017. Until then, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.